call line that I use.
Betsy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're recording.
Fantastic. Okay, hello and welcome to the call. If you haven't already done so, if you would kindly hit the star 6 buttons on your phone.
You are now muted.
Noises, that would be great. At the end, we will take a few questions, and at that time, all you have to do is push that star 6 again so we can hear you. The format for the call is simply that I will interview our guest, Jane. And Jane, do you want to pronounce your last name for me?
Sure, Scandura.
Scandura, okay. And for those of you who don't know me, I'm Betsy Bragel, and I'm the founder of the National Association of Baby Boomer Women, which can be located at nabbw.com and boomerwomenspeak.com. They're the number one sites on major search engines for baby boomer women. I'm passionate about educating and empowering women at midlife and spend a great part of my time doing so. If you're not a member of the NABBW, you're welcome to join us at the reduced rate of $50, typically $75. All you have to do is email me directly at dots@nabbw.com. And this teleseminar is just a sample of, over 60 that we have archived on our site in the members only section. Plus, there are many other benefits that you can read about on our site. Okay, so let's see. Let me introduce Jane, give you a little background information, and then we're going to get started talking about being single, especially at midlife. Jane is a seasoned marketing professional with over 25 years experience. She's a corporate marketing chick turned documentary filmmaker and entrepreneur. She's held various global marketing management roles at industry-leading companies, including IBM, Nokia, Prodigy, Bristol-Myers, and BBDO. She is the co-producer, co-director of the featured documentary film Single, and you can find that online at singlefilm.com. And it's about the growth of the unmarried population and the challenges of finding a lasting relationship in today's crazy world. It's a recent BarnesandNoble.com pick of the week. The film is currently available on DVD and also digital download through popular online retailers, including Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com, and Netflix, as well as via video on demand through Verizon, Fios, and other national and regional cable operators. Her passion for social networking has made her a frequent radio and TV talk show guest, including a national appearance on Fox TV last fall. Her insights on how to enjoy living single will be a part of the feature article in the March issue of More Magazine. Is that this year, next month?
I think it'll be on newsstands, I guess, in a couple of weeks, yep.
Okay, cool. That's awesome. Her day job is providing strategic planning, program management services for Fortune 500 companies, marketing agencies, and nonprofit organizations. She's also professionally trained personal coach and avid public speaker, offering training and consulting services on personal branding and social networking for organizations and individuals. Now, Jane, do you have a personal website?
You know, I don't have one personally. No, I'd like to, for this purposes, it's singlefilm.com in terms of the singles market.
Okay. And then what about like Twitter, Facebook, et cetera?
I do. Have a Twitter at Jane, it's just Jane Scandura.
Okay, and spell your last name, Jane.
Sure. S as in Sam, C-A-N-D as in dog, U-R-R-A.
Okay. And then what about Facebook? You're on Facebook also.
Yeah, but that's mostly for, you know, folks that I know personally.
Okay, so the best way to follow you is Twitter.
Yeah.
Okay, great. One thing I'd like to do before we get started with the conversation and interview is just to mention some of the statistics that Jane has listed on the single a documentary film website. Just to give you an idea of how many people are single, 100 million adults in the U.S. are currently single. Now, that's adults. We're not just talking women. The majority of U.S. households are now headed by an unmarried person. Singles account for $1.6 trillion in annual consumer spending. Nearly 40% of U.S. babies are now born out of wedlock, and the highest rate is in the U.S. Virgin Islands at 70.8%. Single people make up 44% of the U.S. workforce. 86 to 90% of Americans will get married. The U.S. divorce rate is the lowest it's been since 1970, which I found really interesting. Singles account for 36% of voters in the U.S. And let's see, the majority of single women are homeowners. Single women are 22% of new home buyers compared to 9% of single men. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah, well, I don't know what that nowadays.
So anyway, and then also I remember like 2 years ago, we crossed over the 50% mark for the number of women single in the U.S. Is that correct? I remember hearing that.
Yeah, you know, that was a little bit slanted. It was a New York, I think it was a New York Times article, and they counted women. I think it was where they didn't have a partner, and it was they counted people that had husbands in jail, and they also counted younger than 18 years old. So it was kind of a slanted article, I have to say, when you get under the numbers, but it is close to 50-50.
Okay, good. All right. How about if you tell us a little bit about the documentary?
Sure. I have been single my whole life, and as a marketing person, as you said under bio, and I was really interested in learning more about the single market from a demographic perspective of, you know, why aren't marketers really focusing on singles from a perspective of not trying to make us unsingle, but from a life stage perspective. So I'm doing a lot of research on that. And then at the same time, I met someone at a marina where I keep my boat who had done a couple of documentary shorts. And I thought, you know, hey, this might be a good idea for a documentary film, the growth of the single population. I'd also looked into some of the, you know, the stereotypes and the stigmas and the differences in taxes and different kinds of laws on the books, and we took it from there, and that's where it came from. So this was really more of a hobby to do the film.
Muting canceled.
It was a really great experience, and it was wonderful.
Cool. What was the most surprising thing that you learned when you were out and about doing the documentary?
That it's such a passionate topic, so much has changed also from previous generations. You know, we started this process, like as I said, looking into more of the social aspects of, you know, demographics and the discrimination and all that stuff. And as we started interviewing more people, We realized that the real story was the differences between previous generations and now, and how difficult it is now to meet and find really lasting relationships. So that was really the surprising thing, and how the whole film project took a turn.
Very cool. I know sometimes you must get, well, I know you've done the one, but I'm sure when people get into documentary work, they go in with one impression and come out with a totally different impression.
Yep.
So, okay, well, you know, it's interesting. I have a lot of single friends, some who care about dating and some who really could care less. They're just kind of happy doing their own thing. And then there are also quite a few women in our forum community who are single or who have met their spouses online, which is, I think, really kind of new and up and coming for our generation. But many of the women that are single share that they've never been happier. So you say, despite popular belief, a happy single woman is not an oxymoron. You want to tell us what you've learned about that with your research?
Yeah, you know, I think happiness, and it sounds kind of corny, but it really is a choice, and it does come from inside, and you can't really depend on another person for your happiness. And I think if you're generally a happy person to begin with, you're going to be happy in any kind of relationship status, and being married or being in a relationship doesn't really guarantee happiness, right? I mean, I think it's probably worse to be in a relationship and be lonely and unhappy than be on your own.
Yeah, and actually I've heard married women who are not happy in their marriages say they've never been more lonely.
Yeah, exactly.
Than they are in a marriage. So that I think is pretty typical of like our parents' generation, our mother's generation, I think.
Right.
All right, well let's talk a bit about being single for women has become cool.
You know,
what do you think about that comment?
I think it has, you know, it wasn't cool in generations past. I think there was always kind of a, the stigma of, oh, God, there's definitely something wrong with you. But I think with the evolution of women, and, you know, more women are graduating from college and also getting more advanced degrees than men these days, you know, that women have and men have more opportunities for advancement, and they have more lifestyle choices than they ever did before. And I think people are realizing that the reasons to get married are no longer what they used to be. I mean, you used to get married, you know, traditionally you didn't have sex before marriage. So people were getting married to have sex. They were getting married to have children because you didn't normally have children out of wedlock. And you also needed to get married, you know, for financial security because women were not in the workforce. But all that's basically out the window. And I think that there is a kind of a cool factor. And Hollywood is not portraying single women in the sad, pathetic way that they used to.
That's the truth. Isn't that great? But it is true. I think it just shows how independent women have become, that they don't need someone to pay their way or have their child, et cetera. And I know actually several people from the younger generation who have children and aren't married. And I have to say it's hard for me to understand why they would do that, but there are certainly enough couples doing it that are happy, and I don't quite get that. Do you know anything about that younger generation who's not marrying but having children?
You know, I'm not an expert on that, but there are more people doing it. I think, you know, what we did learn from some of the experts is that, you know, the case for marriage in most cases is because you have children. I mean, it's really a legal and economic institution. And it's the protection, it's protecting those children that you're having, right? So, you know, there are other arrangements that can be had, but, you know, it's a very individual decision. I think it's a very personal decision whether you do it or not. So I really can't be a moral judge on that.
Right. Well, I think that some people who are still single at midlife, I think a lot of the happiness has to do with what their desire is.
Right.
I mean, there are some women who would love to be married and just haven't been able to find the right person. And because of that, they're unhappy because this was their dream. So I think a lot of it has to do, you know, what your expectation is.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're not married by midlife, you know, some people still wonder what's wrong with you if you're not coupled up.
Yeah.
Did you find that to be true?
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. And you know, and it's not like, and it's really funny because just saying that you're not married, people think you've never had a date. I mean, you know, it's like you're not dating and you're dead or something. I mean, you have, you know, we have relationships, and as long as you get something out of any relationship, I mean, they're not all awful, right?
Right.
But you know, the interesting thing is, I find that, you know, you could be a successful woman and you could be attractive, you could be whatever. And you're in a conversation with somebody that you meet for the first time, and you know, they usually start off by saying, "Oh, do you have kids?" And I say, "No." They say, "Oh, are you married?" "No." And they, "Oh, you're divorced?" I'm like, "No." And then all of a sudden, their face kind of changes, and they don't necessarily say anything. So then you're not really able to then come back and answer the question that hasn't been asked, like, you know, why. But you see it in their face, like, okay, so what's wrong with her? I find it's kind of funny when you see it.
Interesting. There's a woman in our forum community who doesn't have children, but it was not by choice.
Mm-hmm.
And so that has made her an advocate for women who are childless not by choice.
Right.
But again, you know, it's that whole idea of what your expectation is.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that, you know, that goes back to having a lot to do with whether or not someone is happy.
But why does anyone care, too? You know, that's the whole thing.
Yeah, that's such a good It's such a good point. It's really no one's business, and it takes me back to we went through 4 years of infertility, and some people knew and some didn't, but towards the end more people did. And I really felt like it was no one's business, you know. But it really kind of set an awkward air around some relationships.
I agree.
Because people just don't really know how to act in situations that aren't typical. But I think that women being single at midlife is more typical these days, which I think is a great thing.
It actually is, you know, more so because, the two things I wanted to say. That number one is I can't tell you how many people that I know that don't have children that are coupled, and they said, Jane, that's your next movie, because if you feel stigma about being married, I mean, you gotta talk to us, because we feel it from not having children. People look at you the same way. The other thing just went right out of my head. Can't remember what I was going to say. That's what happens when
you're right. It'll come back to you. It'll come back to you. So let's talk a little bit about women who are new to the single scene and haven't maybe dated in life. Maybe they've been married for 25 years and now they're divorced, and they don't look like they're 20 anymore. And for the most part, you know, how important is it as women that women act their age and not revert to what they were like when they were looking, you know, out on the dating scene 25 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. You know, first, let me remember what I was going to say, which is that most women, you're saying that you have a lot of there are a lot of women that don't that are single. Most women in their midlife, at least the statistics, I'm not going to say most, but there's a trend that women don't remarry as they get older after they get divorced, like over 40, but men do. So that's why you're seeing a lot more women who are single. But if you have been married for a couple of decades or so, and then you're coming back into the singles market, you do have to remember that things have changed, and that I think they say 40 is the new 30, 50 is the new 40, and all that. And I'm absolutely in agreement on all that, and I'm all for being young at heart and looking mm-hmm. great and living life to the fullest at any age. But what I mean here is really middle-aged women that are really trying to deny or disguise who they really are just in an effort to be accepted. And it's really, mm-hmm. unfortunate.
Yeah, and I have to say I see that. We have, on Friday evenings, we have a block party in our town.
Uh-huh.
And it really attracts, young families go, and baby boomers and older adults go. But, the young kids don't really hang out there. They have other things to do. And I have to say, I see boomer women sometimes that almost turn my stomach when I look at how they're dressed and just the way they're behaving. And I'm thinking, oh, my gracious, please don't go back there.
Yeah.
So I've actually witnessed what you're talking about and have really been turned off by it. But are the guys attracted to that?
I think guys are attracted to women who feel comfortable in their skin, right? And I feel that, just what you just described and what I described before, it seems to me that a lot of women who really just are not comfortable in being single, that maybe they're doing this because they just feel it's expected or it's necessary in order to compete in the dating scene at middle age, right? And, when you look at what Hollywood and media is throwing at us, right, everybody's got to be perfect. But I think women are no more sexier than when they're comfortable in their own skin and very confident in who they are.
That's so true, and I believe we've heard that before from the gal who wrote about going gray at midlife.
Mm-hmm.
She mentions that in her book, that basically if you're comfortable in your own skin, it doesn't matter what color your hair is unless you're in Hollywood, and right. then it does make a huge difference. But okay, so let's move on a little bit to what you call elusive singles. They're everywhere and nowhere. Can you kind of tell us what you mean by that?
Yeah, it's really hard to describe, too, and I probably should have elaborated a little bit more on this. But it's kind of a phenomenon that I had a conversation with a guy I met who was also single in midlife and who just got married. But he wrote a book, which is a really great book for men who were never married. The name of the book is The Why Have You Never Been Married, and it's by Carl Wiseman. And he and I have had numerous conversations about professional singles that are not necessarily looking for a relationship, but they're interested in having one, but they're not actively looking. And there are a huge number of these folks that are basically involved in their own lives, doing their own thing. Maybe their lives are involved in solitary hobbies like, you know, hiking or, you know, cooking like I like to do, and I don't necessarily go out, reading, writing. I mean, how many guys this weekend or last weekend were at Super Bowl parties in their own houses and not going out? I mean, there are people in gyms with iPods in their ears, and we kind of go through life on autopilot, and I think, you know, we call them elusive because they're there, but you're just not seeing them.
Interesting. So not everybody has, you know, a little thing on their forehead saying I'm single is what you're saying.
Right. Although, you know, you maybe want a relationship, and, you know, I kind of fall in this category myself. I might just kind of go along my life and not really concentrating on it. And maybe we're not putting ourselves out in the right situations to meet people because we're kind of happy where we are, but it would be nice to have a relationship.
Right. And actually, this is a good opportunity for me to introduce everybody on the call to someone who's done a teleseminar with us before, which is actually archived in our members only section. And I'm going to do an email introduction for you and Diana Kirshner, who's written the book Love in 90 Days, The Essential Guide to Finding Your Own True Love. And I read her book, and one of our reviewers also reviewed it, and it is an excellent book for someone who is being intentional about meeting someone. And she's right in Manhattan where you are, so it might be good for you all to meet one another. But she is really a good resource for anybody who's interested in really kind of pursuing meeting someone. So, and basically what she does is she walks you through this journey, and what it's all about is getting to know yourself, basically, before you even get out there and start looking for someone, you know. What is it that you're looking for? What do you need personally? That type of thing. Mm-hmm. So if anybody wants to Google her, the book is Love in 90 Days, and her name is Diana Kirshner, K-I-R-S-C-H-N-E-R. So just thought I would mention that in case anybody's on the call that is really interested in meeting someone, because that's not, you know, really what this call is about. This call is just kind of to tell us what being single is like and why and, you know, what's going on with our generation at midlife being single. So, all right, another thing that I think I read on your site was you say it's better to have loved and lost than to live with a wacko for the rest of your life.
You know, that wasn't something that I heard. Someone had told me that, and I just said, oh, my God, it's like precious. It's kind of like my line has always been anyone is not better than no one, and I find a lot of women, you know, a lot of people are in their best behavior in an early stages of a relationship, right? But you know, people can't pretend forever. But I think a lot of women or some women kind of hang on to relationships long beyond its expiration date, and yeah, and they kind of protect their investment because it's, you know, they've invested so much time and effort and caring and nurturing into a relationship, and they'd rather stick with, you know, the devil you know than the devil you don't know, then really face the uncertainty and the pain that comes with breaking up. So, you know, I know a lot of women that stay in long-term relationships because they're afraid of starting over, and there's really nothing to be afraid of. You know, if you know yourself and if you know you can be okay on your own, you know, you have to be okay with yourself before you can be with anyone else.
That's true, and really, why be with someone who's causing your unhappiness? I mean, I know you're responsible for your own happiness, but somebody who's really dragging you down, that's what I refer to it as. You know, there are women who are in relationships, actually marriages,
yep,
with someone who drags them down every day, and there's nothing that makes me sadder because, you know, they deserve better than that. But there's, you know, there's that fear or, you know, like you say, the investment, the time investment. You know, perhaps they have children, you know,
right,
with that person, et cetera. So people have different reasons, but
you know, if you don't take it to the extreme of marriages, but even just relationships, I see women some women just continue along a path, even though this guy is not right for them and they know he's not right for them, because they just don't want, oh, I don't want to start over again. And, we there are always some good times and always some bad times. So you do have to weigh the pros and the cons, but you know, living inside your comfort zone is not a way to live, right?
Right, right. Well, when you talk about how things have changed from generation generations past, you mentioned that, you know, the world has gotten smaller and people have become more disposable. It reminds me of one of the terms I've heard my kids use, friends with benefits. Tell us what you mean by people becoming more disposable.
Well, we get into this in the movie, in the film, in the documentary. Predominantly when it comes to the fact that, you know, more is actually less. There's a great book called The Paradox of Choice, Why More is Less, and it's basically that, you know, more people are accessible today. You know, in generations past, you pretty much went out with or married the person that lived around the block or down the road. But now, there's so much opportunity to meet people on the internet or because we travel. You know, you can meet and date people from around the world. But when you have so much choice overload, you know, you can question the decisions you make before you even make them, and you have realistic expectations, and you basically say, oh, well, you know, if this one doesn't work out, there's another one down the block or another page online. And so how do you build trust and attraction when your relationships can be so disposable?
Right. And what do you think about that whole thing of people being disposable at this stage of the game?
I think that people are not being realistic in the expectations. I think you need to give people a chance. I think attraction and relationships take time. And I think the pace of life that we live in, this is what we get into in the film, you know, the pace of life and the ADD that all of us are kind of living with just been in just our daily lives is kind of transferring into the world of romance. Where, oh, there's this person, and hey, there's that person, and well, gee, I don't want to settle for this one because there's another one around the block. So I think it's very sad. I think it's not conducive to human happiness at all.
Well, I happen to agree. I mean, and you talk about casual hookup, you know, it may be a lot easier and less stressful, but is it really satisfying? If the ultimate goal is to find a meaningful relationship, is hooking up with Mr. Right now a pleasant distraction that's preventing us from seeing Mr. Right? And I think the casual hookups, and I can't help but mention online communication and texting, and how that's changed relationships too. I'm not real familiar with it for women at midlife, but I'm very familiar with it for like the 20-somethings because I have three of them, and I've seen them, you know, texting and you know, calling and hanging on the phone and, you know, talking online, et cetera, et cetera. And it's interesting because my youngest son, who's 21, has shared that he doesn't like it, though he does it, because he lives in Brooklyn, New York, and has a lot of friends that are away at college and other places. And he communicates with a lot of girls who give him a different impression about their relationship with him than when he sees them. Like, he has said, from what they text me, I would think that they would want to, like, date me or be with me. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's just because you're not with the person, you can put anything out there. It doesn't seem as real. So then when he has kind of come to town and, you know, run into or called one of these girls intentionally, it's a different story. It's like almost like, oh, you know, not that they were joking around, but I just think they get carried away.
Well, the inhibition is completely gone when you're standing behind a laptop or a cell phone or whatever. So people are a lot more freer. I think they're calling it sexting now instead of texting, But, you know, in talking to the younger generation, I mean, you know, I'm into the social networking side of you know, the world, too. And younger generations are really losing their social skills, I have to say, because of all of this online stuff. And, you know, just exactly the description you just said. I mean, there's less opportunity for understanding, you know, body language, tonality, you know, seeing someone's expression. I mean, all that's gone. And when you're actually face-to-face, you know, you miss out a lot.
Yeah. Now, do you, is there a lot of texting going on with, you know, people at midlife? Is a lot of communication being done, you know, by texting and online? I kind of think it must be.
Oh, yeah.
Because I know, you know, of a lot of people on Facebook who are, you know, trying to meet you know, people from their past, looking up old boyfriends, oh my gracious, all that stuff. And I'm just kind of curious to know, you know, is that really happening at midlife?
Oh, yeah, it's happening big time. It's happening big time. And again, it all comes back down to your expectations and your objectives. If you're having fun with it, and that's all you want is to have fun with it, then fine, knock yourself out. But if what you're really looking for is a meaningful relationship, then I think you need to get serious about it instead of, because that Mr. Right or whatever could be right in front of you, but you're too distracted with playing around and having fun and texting and hooking up.
Yeah. So I guess it just depends what you're looking for.
Yeah, and if you get yourself locked into a particular mindset, right? So if you're just having a good time and you know, that the whole friends with benefits, I mean, that friend with benefits you're spending time with, even if you know that there's not a future with this person, what are you wasting your time with?
Yeah, you know, exactly.
Time in our world right now, time is our most precious commodity. And and if you're spending time with someone you know is not right for you, then you're wasting time when you could be with somebody else.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree, but I think that there are definitely people from our generation who are in it for the game.
Yep, exactly.
And I think that's pretty pitiful. I mean, I think it's kind of sad and lonely, you know, in the end. All right, so talk about online dating a little bit with the single people at midlife. And you know, have you experienced it, and what is your personal experience?
You know, the market is huge for the over 45 crowd, the online dating. Mm-hmm. And you know, I've been on and off it for years, and, you know, I've met some really great guys. The online dating, it's a numbers game, right? Mm-hmm. And again, it comes right back down to expectations. You know, you have to be lucky enough to be able to stumble upon someone that and connect with someone who has the same expectations and the right objectives as you. It does tend to be a little superficial, right? It's all based on, you know, attraction and looks and visual from a male perspective, I think, and also from a female perspective. But I think social networking sites are starting to really increase in popularity over online dating sites for those people that may be looking for real relationships, because there is more interaction, there's more time that's required to get to know someone.
Yeah, I appreciate you kind of separating those two out, because online dating is very different from social networking sites. And I happen to agree that I don't know how many more people are doing that, but I definitely think that it's a better way to go about meeting someone and getting to know someone. Because, you know, a lot of these social networks, you're not communicating with just one person. I mean, I know you can go off and communicate with one person, but a lot of the writing on walls, et cetera, is not just for one person to see, which is different than what goes on these online dating sites. Is that right?
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Now, I mentioned a little bit about people looking up old boyfriends and stuff like that. I know you refer to it as recycling. tell me any experiences with that for people at midlife. Are they being, like, you know, successful at getting back in touch with the guy they went to the prom with or, you know, met in college, et cetera?
Yeah, actually. You know, as a matter of fact, there's a book called My Boyfriend's Back, if you hadn't heard of it, written by Donna Hanover, who's the ex-wife of Rudy Giuliani.
Oh, how funny.
And she hooked up with her old high school sweetheart after she and Rudy split, and they're married and having a great time. You know, it's fun, because, you know, when I just happened to do it, to look up someone from my past years ago. And then I got into this whole recycling kind of thing, which is what I called. It was really fun to be able to recapture some moments with people from your past. And when you think about guys when you were, you know, in your teens, if they were good guys back then, chances are they're probably good guys now. And chances are you might catch them on the other way around, on a second time around, right?
Right.
And people are much more accessible and to reach. And for women, it's a lot easier to find their old boyfriends because their names don't change.
Yeah, and you know, one of the beauties I think of that is, too, is that there's history there. You know, of course, it's somebody that you already know and possibly know family members and their parents and the neighborhood they grew up and all of that kind of thing. So I definitely think there's a comfort level in that.
Absolutely. And you know, because relationships are hard enough to begin with, but if you can already have some common ground with somebody from way back, mm-hmm. you're way ahead of the game.
Yeah, that sounds good. All right, so let's see. What about guys and how they treat you and what they say about you? Like, I know you said that if, you know, the guy you're dating doesn't think your body isn't perfect, then change the guy, not the body. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
You know, it's all relative, obviously. You know, I know someone who was 115 pounds and their boyfriend wanted them to get liposuction. That's a little extreme.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, that kind of relationship needed to go for more reasons than that. It was a very controlling behavior, personality, and it had nothing to do with how she looked or how she weighed, right? So you know, you need to be careful of the difference and aware of the difference in that. But you know, I think we all have a responsibility to take care of ourselves and do the best we can with what we have. You know, I'm not an advocate for plastic surgery or any kind of like massive invasive procedure unless it's your choice. Your mm-hmm. choice to do it to make yourself feel good. Mm-hmm. But no one should ever make you feel bad about yourself and place conditions on a relationship over how you look or you know, what you do.
Sure, and hopefully that's something Mom taught us ages ago, right?
Yeah, I'm surprised.
Yeah. You know, speaking of taking care of yourself or ourselves, tell us a little bit about covering our assets. Because, you know, at midlife we have a lot more to lose, so we have to be more cautious than ever for many reasons. And, you know, I know that a lot of marriages often break up over finance issues, and some don't get off the ground because of finance issues.
Yep. Yeah.
Tell us what you recommend and actually what you learned with regards to finances, boomer women, and being single/dating.
Well, you know, you have to take precautions, you know, to protect yourself in all situations, right? I mean, I'm not advocating not getting married because of financial reasons or anything like that. It's just really prudent to protect what you have and you know, before entering any kind of legally binding agreement with someone who can have access to that, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's important to know what someone's financial condition is before you even, you know, get involved in some sort of serious relationships. I know when you get to the senior end, a lot of seniors don't get married. They stay single because of Social Security benefits they don't want to give up, right?
Right.
But it doesn't mean that people are not hooking up and coupling up. So there are all kinds of living arrangements and agreements that you can make. You know, but I think you need to have those agreements and just be careful because you never know. There's more to lose.
Yeah, and I think it all goes back to expectations. You know, what are your expectations with regards to finances in a relationship, you know, and or marriage? Go ahead.
And honesty, too.
And honesty, yeah, with everything. Exactly.
Right.
But I know it gets tricky when single people at midlife begin dating, because it's not just finances, but of course it's families, because maybe you've been single your whole life, or maybe you are married and divorced and have children, and the same with your partner. And I know that often can be a strain on a relationship. We
yeah.
have the forums at Boomer Women Speak, and one of the forums is stepchildren, and even though these stepchildren we're talking about are often in their 20s and 30s, they're just as capable of trying to ruin, whether intentionally or not, the relationship for these midlife people who are dating and or have married later in life.
Yeah, and you know, the older you get, you know, you're dealing with more blended families to deal with, right? I mean, you used to be married one, two, three times, who knows, right? And a lot of folks in middle age tend to maybe live together or even maintain separate residences. And, you know, this kind of independent type of relationship seems, you know, maybe to work better at an older age because children and grandchildren are worried about inheritances and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and then some of them are coming back home, too, which, you know, here you are living with this, you know, this great new person that you met, and then you've got either your child or their child coming back to the nest. I mean, oh, gracious. But, okay, let's talk a little bit about the studies that have proven that by midlife, women who have never married are happier and healthier than women who stay in unhappy marriages.
You know, that, you know, I don't have the details in front of me, but it was a study that I'd read that, you know, I think it's just women just come into their own in midlife, and it's probably not a surprising statistic to say that you're happier than someone who's in an unhappy marriage. Again, it comes back down to understanding who you are and you know, what you want out of life.
That's right. Okay, well, what about the 1980 census that says women who had advanced educational degrees who were higher earners and or successful in their careers were significantly less likely to get married?
Yeah, you know, this is changed. I mean, it's not the case for younger generation, and it'd be interesting to because I think that most of the younger generation have grown up with mothers who are in the workforce. Right, and they're used to having the, you know, the dual owner earner you know, household, but back in as late as the 1980 census, you know, women who were very successful, I think they were somewhat intimidating to men, or men weren't really accustomed to seeing women in the workforce and having those advanced degrees. So it was really interesting. I mean, just as recently as the 1980 census, I thought that was a really interesting statistic. One of our experts had said that.
Yeah, it's really amazing, because I can't imagine, like, our mother's generation having this conversation.
Right.
It wasn't even an option.
Right.
So, okay, now this is something that you touch on that I see over and over again, and that is spending quality time alone or with your girlfriend versus dating just for the sake of dating is highly underrated. And I've got to tell you, you know, I travel pretty much and get around pretty often to different restaurants and, you know, vacation spots, et cetera. And I have to say that almost everywhere I go, I'll see a table of women or, you know, a bunch of women together at the airport, et cetera, just having a grand old time. And I recall being on a vacation with my son just a couple years ago. He was probably about 21, and we just went to Jamaica for, like, a few days together. And there was this group of women that was there the same period of time that we were there. And I'm telling you, I think they were having more fun than anybody else at that resort. And they were all celebrating a 50th birthday and just having the time of their lives. And I just experienced this recently with a group of women that I've known, many of whom I've known. There are seven of us. Five of us have known one another since first grade.
Wow.
And we get together once a month, and we just did, like, a spa weekend on the eastern shore of Maryland. And I'm telling you, it was just a blast. And so talk about that a little bit.
I absolutely agree with you. I mean, it's highly underrated. I don't think people realize that, especially when you're single. I mean, your girlfriends are precious, right? I can relate to that 50 thing. I just turned 50, and going away to the Greek islands in June with my two best friends that I've known since college.
Awesome.
One of them is married for 20 something years, and the other one is divorced, but with a great guy. And so you know, hanging out with your girlfriends is very different than when you're in relationship. Men tend to do this less. I think, you know, in middle age, chances are if they're divorced, when they get divorced, they kind of lose their friends that go with it, because a lot of times men are hanging out with their wives' friends' husbands. And so
okay.
Don't have an extended social network as much as women do, and you know we're just kind of bonders, I think, in general. And I think that alone has a lot to do with being happy in midlife if you're single.
Sure. So I think a lot of it has to do with having something to look forward to. And which is great, and actually, you know, we were just in Aruba, and there were two sisters and a good friend celebrating a 40th birthday. One girl had never married, and the two sisters, one was divorced and the other one was married with children. And again, they were having a great time.
Yeah.
But it boils down to, yes, you can have great time with your girlfriends, but if you really want love and you want spark and you want that relationship, women can still feel like they're missing something.
Yeah. I mean, look, there's absolutely no substitute. I mean, you can have the best friends, the best family in the world, but there's absolutely no substitute for a satisfying romantic relationship with someone who you love and loves you right back, right?
That's a great way to put it. Sure.
Yeah, but, you know, I would also love to be rich and drop-dead gorgeous and whatever, and I'm not, right? So, you know, you have to be able to be grateful for what you have, too. I know that's really corny, but, you know, as I said here, you know, just dating for the sake of dating is not really what you want to do.
Yeah, I totally agree. And a lot of it, like you started the teleseminar with, boils down to finding happiness within yourself.
Yeah.
But, you know, you also mentioned that you can never have too many friends, that they're a great source for blind dates, introductions, which you believe are still the best way to meet people.
It is. I think, you know, people that know you, you know what you like, what your interests are. I think it's always great to get a qualified recommendation than not. And I think, at least I could say for myself, I never really was out to say, hey, look, I'm looking for somebody and ask people. I never did that. But there's no reason why you shouldn't. I do it more now. I'm saying, hey, yeah, I'd be interested in meeting somebody. But you have to let people know that you're looking.
Right. And you know what? That is mentioned in that book I was talking about by Diana Kirshner, Love in 90 Days. She talks about, you know, the whole intentional piece.
Yep.
You know, you can kind of just sit around and wait, and they're not, you know, Prince Charming isn't going to come knocking at your door. So if this is what you want, then go for it, is basically what she says. But be careful how you go about it.
Right.
Okay, let's see. Do you have, I mean, of course, we certainly hope everyone will watch your film, which has been reviewed at NABBW.com. You can read a reviewer's review of that. And then also visit the website singlefilm, right? Singlefilm.com.
Yep.
Now, do you have any recommendations of other sites, movies, books? You've mentioned a few throughout the interview, but that women who are single might be interested in.
Yeah, there's a really cool book called, ironically, Single, just like the movie. And it's The Art of Being Satisfied, Fulfilled, and Independent, and it's by Judy Ford, J-U-D-Y, Ford. Really enjoyed that. It's a just really easy read, and I just highly recommend it. There's another site called fabulously40.com, fabulously40, and it's a site for women over 40. And if you go to their link partners, there's a whole bunch of other sites that I sometimes frequent myself. And you know, something else that's really not necessarily for single women in midlife, but a couple other things that I would really recommend. You know, I'm a big advocate of that. The key to happiness really is about being curious and being open and aware and receptive and finding novel things in maybe even the mundane. And there's a great book called Curious.
I love that.
Yep, I loved it. I just finished it, and it's very cool. It's a very cool book. It's by Todd Kashdan, K-A-S-H-D-A-N.
K-A-S-H-D-E-N?
D-A-N.
Okay, and it's called Curious.
It's just Curious with a question mark, and I love the book itself because it's just a yellow book, and it just has the word Curious with a question mark on it, and that's all you see on the book.
Okay, and now what type of book is it again? I'm sorry.
He's a social scientist, I believe, and PhD, and it's all about how to really put curiosity into your life. I mean, this came out of a conversation, matter of fact, with my friend Carl again, because he's always saying to me, Jane, you know, how do you do what you do and whatever? I said, I don't know. Maybe I'm just curious. And we got in this conversation. He goes, you should write a book about being curious. And I went,
oh, that's funny.
I went to Amazon, and there was, I was like, damn it, somebody beat me to the punch. And
oh, that's funny.
It's a great book, and I highly recommend it. And then two other things that I would recommend is The Daily Om, and it's dailyom.com, O-M, which is a great, you can get your horoscope, and you can get just daily inspirational messages, and also Notes from the Universe. If you don't get Notes from the Universe, sign up at TUT.com. And I get a daily note from the universe that is just, I look forward to them every day, and that's all I'm going to say.
Okay, cool. I do the same with wellforjourney.org.
Ah.
And I really like that one too. But curious is interesting to me because people always tell me I'm so curious and why don't you write a book, you know, because I ask a lot of questions. I'm just curious. So I'm definitely going to check that book out. Okay, let's see if anyone on the call has any questions. Do you have anything else to add before we open the line for questions?
No, thank you so much. It was a great conversation.
Oh, good. Okay, it's been a lot of fun, Jane. If anyone has a question, would you please push *6 so we can hear you, and you're welcome to ask Jane anything about being single or, you know, directing and producing the documentary, et cetera. And sometimes it takes people a couple minutes to kind of get up the nerve to ask a question. So if you have a question, push *6. Okay, and while we're waiting for somebody to ask a question, I want to ask you, as a single person at midlife, now you mentioned that you're starting to kind of say, oh, you know, I wouldn't mind meeting so-and-so, et cetera. I have a very close friend who's single, but it's nothing we ever talk about. Is it something that we should broach in a conversation?
What do you mean? So, in other words, there's someone you know that's single, you're saying to her, hey, you want me to introduce you, or what do you mean?
Yeah, that kind of thing. Like, are you interested in meeting somebody? You know, are you doing anything online? It's just a topic that we never broach. And it's interesting because, you know, we broach every other topic. But it's almost like, you know, everybody else is married that's in this group. And so it's just something we've stayed away from. So I'm just kind of curious. I feel like we're ignoring a whole part of her.
No, you know what? I don't talk about it with my friends either. I mean,
okay.
I'm looking. I'm always, you know, always interested in meeting new people. I mean, but you know, I think, you know, unless a guy is going to make your life better, I mean, I'm kind of happy on my own, and maybe she feels the same way.
Mhm. Mm-hmm. And a perfect example is like the holidays. I know that like for Christmas morning, she's alone and she doesn't have any little gifts to open or, you know, anything. She's just there until she ventures out in the afternoon to be with her family. So I kind of taken it upon myself to put together a stocking and just put it at her door so that she has something to open on Christmas morning. It's really weird. But, you know, it just came up in conversation once when we were talking about what everybody is doing Christmas Day. And she's like, well, I don't do anything until I go to my sister's. And I just thought, oh, you know. So,
But you know what, Jazzy, don't say ah. You know why? Because, you know, I get up and I go to my parents, too, for Christmas. And you know what? That's my life. And it's not, I don't feel sorry for myself. It's just, you got to remember that that's, you know your life and she knows her life. And
yeah,
there's nothing wrong with either of it. It's just, you know, you become accustomed to what you are.
Well, you know what? Thank you for setting me straight on that. Because there's a piece of me that wants somebody to be there with her on Christmas morning. Is that wrong?
No, I think it's very sweet of you, but it doesn't mean that you need to change her lifestyle, right? I mean, because that's her lifestyle. I don't even think about it, tell you the truth. Until you just said it, doesn't even enter my mind. I wake up Christmas morning because I know what I'm going to do the rest of the day.
Right. Isn't that interesting? Well, I love getting your perspective on this. I really do, because you're right. I shouldn't say all. Because she's happy. She's content. She lives a very full life.
Yeah.
But I just felt like, oh, I would love for her to be with someone, which is just
well,
ridiculous.
You know, I'll say, you know, there were times when I was with somebody and I'd wake up on Christmas morning and my boyfriend would be there and we opened the gifts and that was great. But you know what? Now he's gone and now, so what?
Right. What a riot. Okay, well, let's see. Does anybody else... does anybody other than myself, is anybody else curious out there? *6.
Dot
Hello?
Dot
yes, go ahead.
I just wanted to add something to your comment. I think what you do is so sweet, and you're such a good friend to her. But yes. I want to say that you're looking at it through your family, married life perspective.
Right.
And
mm-hmm.
She's looking at her life through her life. And
right.
So what you're seeing is two different things. I know myself being single for 17 years now, thank you, Lord, that I look at my life as being full and happy, and then I have friends who go, oh, I'm so sorry you don't have it. And I'm thinking, why? You know, I'm perfectly content. So it's two different perspectives. But what you do, I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just,
right.
I think it's really sweet. But you have to put yourself in their shoes.
Right. Okay. I really appreciate that. And I hope other people on the call are learning, too, because who knows, I might be one of the only married people on the call. So it's good to hear that perspective, and I appreciate it.
Well, and one more thing I wanted to add was that being single, I get really, really tired of people saying, why don't you date more, or why don't you get remarried? What, you know, why do you not want to get remarried? And I feel like I'm going around having to justify my life all the time. I wish I had a really quick answer for that that wasn't snide or rude or anything else, but yet would let them know, hey, I'm happy, you know, in the status quo.
But you know what? I have to tell you, you know, I get the same thing. And, and you know what? And I hate to say it. I don't mean to sound cynical, and I don't mean to sound negative. But, you know, you can say you're happy, and I can say I'm happy, and I can say I'm, because I really am. A lot of people just don't believe it.
But
and they are, again, looking through their own lenses. And I would venture to say that you probably loved being in a relationship when you were in one, just like I am. But, you know, I don't even know what to say to that. There's no way to convince people that you're happy. If they can see that you're happy, let it be.
Well, usually I just say, look, you're not going to try to force your husband on me. I don't want it. and everybody, you know, everybody laughs and then it's over with. But, yeah, I do get tired of it. And I'm in a relationship and I just adore him, but I don't want to get married.
There you go.
Oh. Yep, there you go.
Anyway,
nothing wrong with it.
I've enjoyed this. Thank you so much.
Good.
Okay, thank you. Does anybody else have a question? You can push *6, and whether it's a question or a comment, feel free to do so. And so I'm thinking after hearing you talk that it's probably best that we don't talk about my friend being single and bring that up as something out of the ordinary.
Yeah, it's not a status that necessarily needs to be changed unless, you know, she'll find the right person when it's right, just like I will.
If she wants to.
Right.
She wants to. Right.
Right.
Yeah, very cool. Okay, well, if no one has a question, then I think we're just going to wrap this up, Jane. I really appreciate, you know, all of your great insight and information and sharing everything you learned while making that documentary. I think that would be such a fun thing to do.
It would.
And what a great way to really do the research.
Yeah, it was. It was great. It was a lot of fun. It was probably the hardest project, you know, I've ever tackled and probably the most fun.
Very cool. Now, do you have any idea about doing another documentary, or are you going to stay in this filmmaking business, or what is your plan there?
I might. I have some ideas. You know, my film partner and I financed this ourselves, and if I do something else, it's got to be somebody else's nickel.
Yes, absolutely.
But, yeah, no, I actually am involved in some ideas that are still germinating. And I attended a really great conference last week, and met some really interesting people that are doing really cool things.
Very good. Okay, well, it was great talking to you, and I will be in touch. I want to make that introduction with you and Diana Kirshner.
Great.
And then we'll also send you, you know, the audio link and the transcription, and so we'll be in touch. So thanks again, and have a great day. And you know what? It has started snowing here. We got 26 inches this past weekend. We're looking at another 12 to 20, and I hear New York is going to get this one, too. So it's already started here.
Ready?
Yep, starting here, so be on the lookout.
All right, thank you so much, Emma.
All right, have a great day, Jane.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.